On February the 4th, 2018, while folks tuned in to watch the Philadelphia Eagles play the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, some of you remember and care, some of you don't, but there was an uproar over one of the advertisements. Maybe you remember. Ram Trucks featured Martin Luther King Jr.'s sermon entitled Drum Major Instincts that had been preached exactly 50 years ago to the date the advertisement aired. The ad features scenes of someone doing push-ups, football players practicing, people fishing, a teacher writing on a chalkboard, soldiers marching, a firefighter carrying a child outside of a burning building, a woman getting an ultrasound, and a ram carrying a church building on a trailer, alongside of other shots of a huge ram truck roaring through the mud. King's voice is heard in the background, quoting his sermon saying, "If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant." That's a new definition of greatness. By giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. By giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know Einstein's theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics and physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love, and you can be that servant. And the ad ends with the words, "Ram, built to serve." As you might imagine, the uproar was about the fact that Martin Luther King Jr.'s last sermon, delivered 2 months to the date before he was killed, was being used to sell Ram trucks. It's ludicrous, really. But the irony is not just that King was well known as someone who critiqued capitalism and militarism, but also that King specifically calls out spending too much money on a car in this very sermon. It's almost as if they didn't listen to the whole sermon. They didn't. I've never had that problem. If they had kept listening, they would have heard King say, "We see it everywhere, this quest for recognition. And we join things, overjoin really, that we think we will find that recognition in." Now, the presence of this instinct explains why we are so often taken by advertisers. You know, those gentlemen of massive verbal persuasion, and they have a way of saying things to you that kind of gets you in the bind. In order to make your neighbors envious, you must drive this type of car. And you know, before you know it, you're just buying that stuff. That's the way the advertisers do it. The drum major instinct is real. And you know what else that happens or causes that to happen? It often causes us to live above our means. You ever see people buy cars that they can't even begin to buy in terms of their income? That was still MLK, by the way. Yes, he said that in the same sermon. This advertisement is just one of the many examples of Martin Luther King's words being taken out of context and used to support a message that King himself would have been against. This weekend, as our country celebrates Martin Luther King Jr., we also must confess that we have whitewashed many of King's sermons and domesticated his words to align with the status quo. Our country's celebrations of King often do not hold up the painful truth that King was not popular or accepted in his day, and that if he were still preaching today, he'd be stepping on the toes of those people who now claim to honor him. That drum major instinct sermon is actually a sermon about our text for today. It wrestles with the requests from James and John to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus. A few verses before our passage begins, Mark makes clear that Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem with his disciples. It feels as if the disciples may still misunderstand what following Jesus is actually going to mean. James and John are vying for places of prominence, and when they ask to share in Jesus' glory, Jesus says quite plainly, "You don't know what you're asking." He asks them if they are prepared to drink the cup he will drink, or be baptized with what he is baptized with. Jesus is signaling that to follow him is going to mean suffering. It's going to mean being subjected to death. Mark wrote during a time when participating in Christian worship meant risking torture and death, and the way he narrates this conversation helps to make his community clear about what may come. We know that James is one of the first martyrs, but it doesn't seem like he understands the risk of following Jesus at this point. Jesus challenges their perceptions of greatness. If they want to be great, they must be willing to be servants. They must be willing to give their lives. In King's sermon, he says that we should not jump to judging James and John so quickly, because we all have what he calls the drum major instinct. A desire to be out front, a desire to lead the parade, a desire to be first. He says we all want to be important, to surpass others, to achieve distinction, to lead the parade. King says that what is important is that Jesus didn't condemn James and John, but challenged them to use this instinct in a faithful way. He said that Jesus told them, keep feeling the need for being important. Keep feeling the need for being first. But I want you to be first in love. I want you to be first in moral excellence. I want you to be first in generosity. This is what I want you to do. And he transformed the situation by giving a new definition of greatness. Jesus said, now, brethren, I can't give you greatness. And really, I can't make you first. This is what Jesus said to James and John. You must earn it. True greatness comes not by favoritism, but by fitness. And the right hand and the left are not mine to give. They belong to those who are prepared. And so Jesus gave us a new norm of greatness, King said. If you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. As Leon Bridges sang, it means surrendering to the good Lord. Following Jesus in baptism means surrendering to God's call on your life. It means setting aside the values of this world to be faithful. When we invite people to follow Jesus by immersing themselves in the water of baptism, we often don't talk about how it requires surrendering. As theologian Lamar Williamson Jr. writes, today the gospel is presented as a no-risk offer. And persons sometimes follow Jesus in order to stay out of trouble. This text offers a jolting challenge to any simplistic, self-centered understanding of discipleship. Getting right with God by coming to Jesus is not simply a basic factor in an orderly life. Discipleship will mean more trouble, not less, though it may be palliative in some respects. Following Jesus is likely to be disruptive in others. True discipleship is characterized by a costly pouring out of someone's life for another, whether it be an aging parent, a difficult spouse, a special child, another member of the Christian Fellowship who has unusual needs, or any person whose situation elicits neighborly service at personal cost. Anyone who contemplates following Jesus without fear and trembling has not understood true discipleship, according to Mark. To follow Jesus in baptism means to participate in his death in some way. Being a disciple is going to cost you something. It's going to require surrendering. Not knowing that he would die exactly 2 months later, Martin Luther King Jr. told the congregation in his Drum Major Instinct sermon what he wanted said about him during his funeral. He said, "Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were imprisoned. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. Say that I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter," he said. On this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, King's sermon calls us to think about what people will say about us one day. What will we have been a drum major? Will we have been a drum major for our own greatness, our own accomplishments, our own wealth, our own comfort? Will we have been a drum major for the status quo, for keeping this unjust world as it is? Or will we follow in the steps of King and in the baptism of Jesus and be a drum major for justice, a drum major for peace, a drum major for righteousness? Will we be a drum major for anti-racism, for LGBTQ inclusion, for treating all as beloved? Will we surrender to the good Lord, walking away from all the shallow things that do not matter? Will we follow Jesus into the water and give of our lives, becoming servants for all of God's beloved children? Will we transform this country into the one that King dreamed about? Will we transform this world into the world God dreamed about? Let's let Jesus take us down to the river so that we can surrender all. Amen.